A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we kicked off a new season with a new regular guest reflecting on the Premier League weekend. Legendary broadcaster, Danny Kelly. And yeah. Dan's going to join us every week.
We had to resort to a device to get through all the games.
We did. There was no way the three of us would not take too long to get through 10 games. But anyway, we found a way, as you'll discover. Uri Geller joined us, Spoonbender, Mystic. And the man who has turned his island of Lamb up on the Firth of Forth near Edinburgh into a micronation.
Yeah.
So we were trying to help him out with the Lamb Islands football team.
We'll give you a bit
of guidance on that. We had a bit of a chat about various things, didn't
Don't
we?
Forget Clips of the Week Pewter.
Oh, Clips of the Week Pewter, of course, they were in there. So, yeah, plenty to get stuck into. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy, and we're underway then for another season in the Premier League.
I really miss that sickening feeling in my stomach as I sit down to watch them. Honestly, I just sat there churning away, thinking, oh, God, not again. Still, it was absolutely no difference for Chelsea, really. It was exactly the same system, exactly the same type of performance that we saw last year. It's going to be difficult to challenge top four if you can't score any goals.
Well, look, this all fits in very neatly with something you're going to do for us every Monday, and you've done in the past. Completely knee-jerk opinions based on just one game. Mm. Everybody's been doing it, haven't they? Everybody's been saying all the same things since the games were played at the weekend. There's a lot of very familiar phrases you've been hearing since the game's finished. Oh, Forest are going to struggle. Well, based on what exactly? One game at Newcastle.
They're down,
against
Forest.
And was it only City and Liverpool won there recently? So, it's a pretty tough place to go.
Yes.
But anyway, Andy, give us your knee-jerk reactions to the weekend before we put a bit of perspective on it with Danny Kelly in 10 minutes.
Well, I'd say that Liverpool are going to be third.
Liverpool third, okay, right, we'll make a
Fulham
note
could
of that.
Be 15th to 17th. I was quite impressed with him.
Okay, based on one game?
Yeah. Spurs are going to challenge for the title.
Blimey. You're doing that to Bockers, aren't you? Definitely, that's karma.
Saints, this is the year they're going.
You reckon they're going?
Yeah, definitely. Newcastle, very impressive. I'd say 6th to 8th. As I said, Forest.
6th to 8th?
Yeah.
Okay,
Forest, big problems, really. You know, they're going to need a strong second half of the season, which they might have, but trying to assimilate 12 players at once is bonkers.
All they've got to do is win their home games, which is possible, and beat the teams around them. They'll be fine.
You can imagine if we're working here and suddenly 12 new people come and work here. It's hard, you know, we'd all be sort of getting in each other's way. And it's I'd say we might.
We'd be bumping. Well, they don't walk in the same way, new people. Get out of my line of transport. That doesn't really work, does
really,
it?
You know.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Villa.
Yeah, what's going to happen to them?
Villa, what have I got?
Gerrard gone by November?
Yes, big expectations, but I don't think they're going to fulfil them. So
this is all knee-jerk, by the way.
It's only after
I'm sure
one
you've
game.
Been doing it, yeah.
Bournemouth, though, yeah, I'm quite surprised. I've still got them going down, but that was quite a decent performance. Mm-hmm. Leeds, where have I said Leeds versus Wolves? Where's my rash conclusions?
Yeah, rash conclusion about Leeds.
Well, I was quite impressed, actually. Bamford makes a huge difference, doesn't he? Oh, yeah, Leeds will be okay. They're going to be 16th. Wolves could be in trouble.
Oh, okay.
In the drop zone mix.
Okay.
Yes, Everton.
Who's drop zone Mick?
He's a lovely fellow.
Yeah, I bet he is. Oh, here
Danny
he comes.
Knows him. He lives next to him.
Here
Ireland.
He comes, old drop zone Mick. Yeah.
And honestly, Everton had an XG of 3.2, but didn't score.
They haven't got any strikers either at the moment.
I think they'll just about stay up as well. Chelsea are going to be fifth. It can't be any higher than that, I don't think, unless they sign a striker, which they may do, but at the moment it's just looking a bit iffy. Our attacking players just... they're so ineffectual. Havertz is a good player, but how often does he affect a game? You look at him and think, what's a point, mate? You know, there you go.
Are we anything else?
Well, United, I think they'll be lucky to finish seventh. I've got Brighton ninth. City are winning it, and West Ham will be... They've got a light squad. I've got them at 8th to 10th.
OK. Well, there we are. If you've made a complete...
Oh, Leicester and Brentford at 12th equal.
That takes some doing. They have to have a playoff for 12th.
That's it. I've done the lot.
So if you've got a knee-jerk reaction to the weekend's football, we'll run them past Danny Kelly. Any comments as we chat, myself and Andy and Danny, over the next 45 minutes, looking back on all the games, feel free to weigh in on any subject at all. And already one of the TalkSport listeners gone for the very highbrow core subject of the day. I don't know what made me think of it, but Southampton maybe could have done with a lad that they've sent on loan to Stoke, who had a very good game the other day. Will Smallbone.
Oh, really?
Don't you think... couldn't you see Will Smallbone? Will Smallbone walks on stage in a Shakespearean... A Midsummer Night's Dream. I imagine he'd be one of those, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
It's young Will Smallbone.
Absolutely.
Sounds to me like a minor Shakespearean character.
It's
you've
a
gone
type of kitchen as well.
Oh, OK. No, yeah.
Famous kitchens.
Famous kitchens. OK, thanks. Are you looking for a free one, are you?
No,
because they're
really.
Quite expensive,
yeah,
aren't they?
I've given them a mention. I'll send them my measurements.
Macbeth Mead. So we've gone down the puntastic route. It's just a bit of fun. Either ignore it or don't. Talksport.com, text 81089.
It's quite dumb to ignore it.
What's that?
That'd be a good call.
Yeah, feel free to ignore it or get involved. It's your choice. Talksport.com, text 81089. Tweet TSHNJ. Knee-jerk reactions. RJ says, Haaland to get 40-plus Premier League goals.
Yeah. He
well,
could do, couldn't
that
he?
That is not that ludicrous based on what we saw yesterday.
Where does he get that pace from? Because he's like a big lad. Yeah. He's so quick.
But we'll talk to Andy Brassel about this. I remember the first time I saw him play for RB Salzburg, and I think they won 5-2 in their first game, and he just looked ridiculous. He looked ridiculous then. He was scoring all sorts of different goals.
I know, he is tremendous.
One of them very, very similar to the one he got yesterday, the second goal yesterday. We're going to see a lot of that. Anyway, we'll be discussing all that, but Danny Kelly with us very shortly as we go game by game, working our way back from West Ham, Manchester City. Want to know where those West Ham fans got their little cardboard hats from as well.
Yes.
Our gaffer is a West Ham fan. He said they weren't handing them out willy-nilly. They may have been cards.
Well, probably in the shade.
Oh, okay, could be. Yeah, maybe they only given to people in the sun. Scott Parker's jacket is not going to get away with it either. We'll find out a bit more about that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, Premier League season is underway, and every Monday we will reflect on the weekend's football with legendary broadcaster.
Legend.
Long-time friend of the show. Although, apart from little sort of pockets of when he was doing the excellent My Sporting Life and we chat about the episodes, we've never really worked with him much. And we're putting
now.
Oh,
I have.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I have. I've done shows where you were away. I've done shows
of course, yeah. Well, we've never worked great together, football. So it's a first for me. The excellent Danny Kelly will be joining us. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Yes, we're good. So,
all that kept us apart. They thought it might be too Spursy.
I think,
the gaffer two great pros like us.
The gaffer's already said that here. You know,
I can't wait for next Monday.
actually, I'm not sure I want it to come round either, Andy. So we're sharing a fear there, aren't we?
I'm the same as Danny. Anyway, we're going to work our way back. I mean, I think we do have a little bit of music for this part of the show. We thought we'll have a bit of theme music, Danny. See what we make of this. It's a good tune. It doesn't get used as much as it used to. So I thought,
joy of joys! What a great thing to hear! And well done, the national broadcaster. You're all paying for it, of course, for dropping the football results at 5 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah.
TalkSport still does them. Adrian still does them. They're just handing us audience now, hand over fist, aren't they? Wonderful.
Well, let's
we're handing it back with this section, aren't we? But you know,
that's right. Probably, yeah. Well, let's get underway then with West Ham 0, Manchester City 2. That's the first game we'll be looking at now, Danny. And there was quite a lot of sages out there stroking their chins and saying things like, well, you know, Haaland might find it difficult to adapt to the Premier League. I think the signs are that he won't.
Well, look, this is a very tricky season, as Andy has just proven with his knee-jerk reactions, which could turn out to be exactly right. Very difficult season to predict because of the World Cup in the middle, the five substitutes rule, all kinds of things that are different this season. But to predict that Erling Haaland, that's the Erling Haaland, might not be a success in the Premier League. I thought that was some of the most ludicrous nonsense I've ever read. He is at his age, he is the greatest striker since I don't know who. Lewandowski wasn't this good at his age, nor was Harry Kane. He's going to be fantastic for Manchester City. And here's the fear. They keep saying in their interviews, very seriously, well, it'll take him a little bit of time, for him to adapt to us. Wait till they adapt to him.
Yeah.
Wait till they realise all the things that he can do. And we saw a little glimpse of that. When was the last time Manchester City scored a goal with a through ball into the centre forward slot and it was just lamped into the net? We're going to see a lot of that. And, you know, it'll be wonderful to watch because he's a fantastic footballer, bizarrely brilliant and quick for a man of his size. But I think Manchester City are going to provide him with so many chances. It will change the way Pep sees the world as well. He was great, wasn't he?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
No, he didn't need to be great. He took his goals brilliantly, and that's all you need.
Yeah.
It was interesting, though, the commentators talking about, oh, he's so cheap. They got him for 50 million. He does cost 500 grand a week.
Yeah.
There's a point. He's 200 grand more than Sterling was getting, you know.
Mm.
So you have to factor that in. I mean, but on just as a transfer fee, yes, it is cheap.
It's the way that German football works now, isn't it? As they grind their way through the various RBs and then up to the bigger clubs, the only way that they can keep them away from the predators of the Premier League and Spain is to say, well, if you give us 2 good years, you'll be a superstar. You'll have a very low release clause, and that will allow you to negotiate gigantic wages in England or Spain. And by and large, it's really, really worked. It's really, really worked for them.
The only thing you could have questioned about Haaland was that sort of come November, December, the physical nature and the pace of the Premier League, and even this is at a push, you could have said, well, he might start to get a bit leggy in January or February. But instead you say, there they go, Erling. Have a month off while we all go to the World Cup. Have a month off to rest. So that goes out the window as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, him and Salah are going to get a month off in a season where they'll probably have 20 goals each by the time the World Cup comes around and then have a little chance of a bit of R&R to then smash the rest of the league when we get back from Qatar. One thing that wasn't predictable, though, Erling did well. Manchester City looked as slick as they always do. But West Ham, early days, of course, in the new season, Sonny and all the rest of it, they looked like they were in some kind of induced coma. What was their performance about?
But it was too hot for Moyes ball. It was too. They couldn't press. They just didn't have the legs.
Global warming's going to do for David Moyes as a manager, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
It's going to do for him.
It's a
shame that was here.
Unless we bring in unlimited substitutions, in which case you'll have a pressing 11 who come on when you haven't got the ball. And then you're more sort of a deep block 11 for different occasions.
We also noticed the West Ham fans, some of the West Ham fans were wearing what looked like homemade paper hats. And I couldn't get to the bottom of what they were. Our gaffer is a West Ham fan. He said they didn't leave them on our seats. But apparently there were pieces of card left. And our friend Bill Burrows, who was in with the West Ham fans, although he's a City fan, says like the hats were fashioned from pieces of card held to every seat by a rubber band designed to be held up at the start of the game. To create some kind of visual feast. Several were made into huge, potentially fatal cardboard planes. They were quite big and quite sharp. But the hats, they're all, you know, West Ham do have an awful lot of fans that are 50-year-old men of a certain age who regard olive oil as suntan
50.
Lotion. Yes.
There's a certain age they are.
Yes. Plus. But they were obviously getting a bit warm on their virtually bald pates, shaven heads. And they were wearing these paper hats, Danny, and they were very fetching too.
Pirates of the River Lee, wasn't it?
I mean,
I knew that they couldn't have been designed as hats because they were so ill-fitting and random looking. But I thought it was very, 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 very quick-witted of them. These really roasting hot days. I myself am a lovely sort of space hopper pink with just, you know, 20 minutes exposure to the sunshine yesterday. I thought it was great the way they looked there. And of course, this is because gentlemen no longer carry a handkerchief. Generations ago, football fans would have knotted handkerchiefs and put them on their head.
True.
We don't have them anymore, so you have to make do whatever bits of cardboard the promotions department at football clubs provide you with.
Well done to the West Ham fans who fashion hats. They look like Forest fans. They were very Robin Hood in style. We move on to Manchester United 1, Brighton 2.
And
you're good at it, Paul. Good.
Yeah, that's a bit more surprising than Brighton 2.
Brighton 2, yeah, we do need a bit more James Alexander Gordon.
No, it's not a surprise, Andy, though, is it?
No, not
it's
really.
Not.
It's Manchester United 1, Brighton only two.
Yeah, you're right.
Should have been three. There, should have had a penalty. Says
James. Oh my God, yeah. I messed that club.
Now
is, really.
They are about to recruit Adrien Rabiot from Juve. He's on his way. And if you want the Manchester United midfield to be a bit more ruthless, this is the boy you want, because his mum used to be his agent. But Adrien Rabiot sacked his own mum. Who sacks their own mum?
Look, it's obvious that, to anyone with an eye in their head, that in both directions in the play, Scott McTominay and Fred, whatever their individual qualities, are just not a good enough pair for a team in the top half of the Premier League. They're not creative enough going forward. And Manchester United, somebody said it on the television last night, they're the easiest team in the Premier League to play through. I mean, that is a terrible accolade to have against a club that's one of the biggest in the world. And I guess Rabiot is an attempt to try and shore up. Because it looks like they cannot prize the fella out of Barcelona because they won't pay his missing wages. Rabiot, he's an upgrade on what they have, but it's still not what Manchester United fans, who started the season pretty miserably, didn't they? The atmosphere in the ground without a ball being kicked was terrible. Can anybody tell me, I mean, very quickly, how good are Brighton, though, when they start playing the way they do? Imagine if they had a Welbeck played great on the day, but imagine if they had a regular striker, what they'd be doing to teams. They're really very, very good.
They'd probably be top four if they had Erling Haaland.
So would most teams. Yeah, you can see why they let Bissouma go as well, because Caicedo was the replacement and he played very well. I mean, the build-up to the second goal, he showed... I mean, that's a good thing, as Andy was saying. Brighton are very good at that. You know, Brighton's recruitment is generally really good.
I don't want to take any... credit at all for Brighton's advance as a team, but here we go. There was a while in the early days of Trans Europe Express where Graham Potter was the only person from these islands working abroad, either a player or a coach. He was in Sweden at the time. The poor man, we would talk to him at sort of midnight every Sunday night for about a year about, how are you getting on then, Graham? Is it great being a coach abroad? And I think it really encouraged him. Mm. I think it really helped shape him as the coach we see today. He's very, very good, isn't he? Very, very good indeed. Mm. I mean, poor old Erik ten Hag. I know it's impossible when you're the manager of one of these big clubs. The cameras are on the whole time. When the second goal went in and he'd already, after less than... an hour's football, developed the Manchester United manager 1,000-yard stare, where you managed to be appearing to look way beyond the mere Manchester United supporters in the ground into some golden sunlit upland of football that is just out of reach for the time being. He must have also thought, ah, these are not go-ahead Eagles or Deventer, are they? When he looked at the Brighton team.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's
the size of the task.
Where's the plan? And Nautovic. And Nautovic is a decent enough player, and he can... get goals, but
it's what he represents as a signing,
it's sort of like a real scattergun thing. It's not, no,
and he's moved the. I wonder if this is a curse he's put on the club. Erik ten Hag has moved the dugouts, which really annoy our old mate Angus Lochran, because he had his seat behind Sir Alex for years. He's decided he wants to be nearer the Stretford end, and he's switched them. I mean, if it is a curse, they're going to have to get Barry Fry down, of course, a former Manchester United youth player, to have a wee in all four corners of Old Trafford.
It's far to go when they've lost, though, isn't it, to the dressing room?
I suppose that's the yes.
Paul, it's 2022. Is that your only curse-lifting tactic? Yeah. Weeing in the ground?
Yes. It worked. I think it worked for Baz. So,
it did.
Anyway, we knew this would happen. We've got eight other games to get through, which we'll give you Leicester 2, Brentford 2 very, very shortly. Danny Kelly is with us. We will plough through the remaining eight games over the next half hour.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We've left ourselves eight games to look at, Danny, in a relatively short space of time.
Well,
so
Everton-Chelsea won't take long, will it?
No, I don't think anybody's going to want to dwell on it for long.
No.
But before that, Leicester 2, Brentford 2. And a nice story comes from this. Josh De Silva, a man who missed a lot of football through injury, and saying that Thomas Frank and his players all quite emotional on Josh's behalf. A lovely goal and a great result.
It's interesting because last year, I go to Brentford, and the guy I sit next to, when De Silva came back from injury, kept saying to me, and he's a good judge, this fella, and he said to me, he's a terrific player, he's a fantastic player, what a player this player. And I was looking at him thinking, is he? But obviously he is. He knows a lot more about Brentford players than I do. And I was pleased for that.
Sharpen
nice
up with
goal.
More game time. But yes, from a Leicester point of view, I was quite shocked. We knew they hadn't bought anybody, Danny, but Graham Bryce in The Sun says that Brendan Rodgers, the only manager in Europe's top five leagues, yet to spend a penny this summer.
And if you look at the at Tielemans and maybe James Maddison actually just hanging on there, what is going on with all that? We're now seeing not just the players who brought the title to Leicester being rotated out of the club, you know, it's years ago now, but even the following team is going out there and they're not bringing people in. Now, they've recruited very well over the years. Fofana is also under pressure from a certain West London club to move on. They've got to be very careful. They don't sell their whole team in one fell swoop. One thing you do notice, of course, though, cut forward to 15 years' time and the commentator will be saying, OK, here comes the Leicester substitution. David Schmeichel, a son of Casper and a grandson of Peter, yeah, is being taken off here and replaced by Mark Albrighton. Mark Albrighton, how long is Mark Albrighton going to stay at Leicester? Yeah, unbelievable.
It's amazing. Yeah, he's brilliant there.
Yeah,
it's surprising, but Hudson-Odoi linked with Leicester. I think he'd fit in well there. I don't want him
There's
to go.
There's a few stories
like
saying
him,
he wants
that out. Might be quite interesting. It was in that game, though, Thomas Frank saying how fit Brentford were, and it certainly came on strong, didn't they, in the latter part of the game. And I think you're going to see that. I mean, Spurs look very fit. Whereas Chelsea, the three fittest players all came from other clubs. It was really noticeable.
Well, let's move on to that game then. It says it probably won't take as long.
We forgot to mention the great goal by our favourite wedding venue.
Oh, yes, Dewsbury Hall. Yeah, it's always
lovely, isn't it?
It's a lovely place. The gardens, they really look after the gardens. Thank God there's not a hosepipe ban at Dewsbury Hall.
Tremendous finish. Anyway. Finish.
Everton Chelsea. I mean, it's overshadowed by that Ben Godfrey injury. I hope he's not going to be out for too long. Same.
It was that classic thing when you've made a mistake that you try too hard to get it back.
Yeah.
It just went in so hard. He could have done the same thing to Havertz. It was a bit of I feel for him, but it was a reckless challenge. And Pickford, a little bit frantic as well. Yeah. He'd gone back to that thing and in front of Southgate.
I think Gareth put something in his tea to calm him down a bit. I don't think he knows he's being nobbled, but I think he's being nobbled when he goes to England. Because he's quite calm when he plays for England, isn't he, Jordan Pickford?
Well, first of all, you have the high watermark of Joe Hart doing his nut while playing for England, particularly in the preparation for games. Pickford picked that up for him, I think, somewhat, and has done his best work for England since he stopped doing it. I do think, and Andy will know better than me, what you want from your goalkeeper, and sorry the aforementioned Peter Schmeichel, what you want from your goalkeeper is utter calm around the place. Peter Cech. That's why he was a great goalkeeper for a decade. He made great saves and he didn't get anybody's face. And I think that's what you require. But yeah, Pickford was a little bit all over the place. But that was because there was nothing else going in the game that you picked that out. And Andy, I hear your pessimism, but it was pure Chelsea to go to a game where nothing happened and suddenly you find yourself on the flight back down to London. Oh, I see we got the 3 points there up in the front seat. Yeah. Chelsea.
But the interesting thing about in that game with Chelsea was they had 16 corners.
Yes.
And earlier in the year, I think it may be in January, there was an article in the Sunday Times about Chelsea's set play coach and how many goals he'd let. Since that article, they haven't scored a goal from a corner. It's unbelievable. What on earth? 16, but just by the law of averages, you should get one goal from 16 corners.
You would think so.
Well, the amount of fuss about them, you think you would, but I think it might be one of the more overrated aspects of being a football fan. Oh, good, we've got a corner.
Yes, that's
dot,
very true.
Dot, dot, and what?
Well, coming on to a club that had a succession of players from Vinnie Samways, even the saintly Christian Eriksen among them, that would hit the first man. Tottenham, we did score from a couple of balls into the box at the weekend. I do now realise how we're paying for all these new signings. Daniel's put 39p on the price of a pint of neck oil, so that's one way he's going to claw it back. We saw I know it's the cost of living crisis and all that, but we saw the pints go up. But it was very un-Spursy, really, Danny, at the weekend, at the game. We go 1-0...
First, let me understand this. Has the price of crude beer gone up there?
I think it has. Yeah. It certainly has. But, even at 1-0 down, normally, you know, we go 1-0 up early. We think, oh, we've just annoyed them now. It's too early. But there was no panic. You could tell there was no panic. Everybody thought, no, we'll get back into this. We'll be all right. And so it proved.
Really interesting game, actually. First of all, let's say that Southampton are one of two teams in the Premier League that I believe are a one-man team. In one case, and we'll come on to them, I think it's a good thing. In Southampton's case, if James Ward-Prowse doesn't do anything, I don't see what they're trying to do as a team anymore. And Hasenhüttl is starting to wear the 1,000-yard stare as well. Yeah. But Spurs, what was interesting was that whereas when Conte got there, they were playing with essentially a back nine, And then breaking out from there. Now they've got a plan B as well, because what they did, they alternated between high press in the modern fashion and dropping back if the press didn't work. Mm. And I thought it left Southampton very few avenues to go down, even if they had the necessary talent to exploit those avenues. And, you know, we talk about teams that end the season badly and then start the next season badly. Spurs were scoring a mountain of goals at the end of the last season. I thought surely the other coaches would have sorted this out by now, what the Spurs are doing. But here they've got another four there in a game in which they went behind, as you rightly say. I don't know how he's doing it, Conte, but then, of course, that's why he's on the big bucks. But they are formidable.
I know how he's doing it, because he's a great manager, and he's got them really, really fit, playing with a lot of belief, playing with a system that works, having players, good recruitment, players that fit the system he wants.
None
of them play, but that's great, because it puts pressure on the ones that are already playing there. I mean, Martin Chivers, he said that Tottenham put down a marker for the rest of the Premier League. Well, maybe, but not City or possibly Liverpool. I think they will challenge Spurs, but I still think City will.
The other thing is, Danny, it's not just the new signings, it's the players he's improved. Ryan Sessegnon is a player that ultimately before didn't trust his own body because he kept getting these hamstring issues every time he went on a sprint, and he didn't quite believe in himself as a player. He doesn't really have a great deal of swagger. He seems like a nice lad, but I think Conte's dealing with that. He's looked much, much better under Conte. He's got to start believing in himself, because I think the fans do. And even Emerson Royal, God bless him, I mean, who was a bit of an embarrassment sometimes down the right, got better towards the end of last season and was worthy of his place at the weekend. So he's making players there already better.
It's a good time to play Chelsea too, because I do believe Chelsea will get better throughout the season and they will make more signings, but at this stage...
Oh, there's the music just being faded up there. You've probably heard that at the Oscars before when they want to clear the stage.
Can I finally mention Ralph Hackett-Hootle? He's gone back to that look.
He has gone back to the assistant manager of a Tyrolean resort.
The white trainer's very good, very good.
So you'll hear that music when we have to change the game. It's the music when we're ushered from the stage at the Oscars.
Can I just say, in the age of five substitutes, possibly six, possibly seven with the concussions, great to see Armstrong replacing Armstrong. I'm looking forward to a lot of those in the new year.
Newcastle 2, Nottingham Forest 0 is the next game we're going to look at. And there's been a lot of talk, a lot of knee-jerk stuff about, Forest are going to find it tough, not so easy now. Well, some of which is true, but he is still bedding in a lot of new players. And I think quite a lot of those new players, from Forest's point of view, are pretty good and will get better. And as we were saying earlier on, if they win their home games, they beat the teams around them.
So many, I don't get it.
Because they felt they needed. They had a lot of loan deals last year.
Really?
They're players that left, players that moved on, and a lot of loan deals. So they had to address that.
As like I said in the top of the show, they're going to have a very good second half of the season, I think.
Yeah. Danny, what do you make of it?
I must admit, Andy, I've never bought into the you can't change too many of the players. That's because you and I, well, particularly you, follow clubs that have been buying the very best players. So there's not that scope. If you bring in 10 players and they're better than 10 of the ones you've got, even with lack of time to prepare the team, which Steve Cooper has had, they will be a better team. Look, all three of the promoted teams, you can find a reason why they'll go straight back down. Let's be truthful about that. The really interesting thing is Newcastle United, who they're like pools winners who mark the X for no publicity. Hey, teenagers, boxing. They've got all this money and they haven't spent it yet. Mm. And perhaps they don't need to. I mean, one of the things, the transformation of Joe Linton, I'm going to put this to Andy here. Since Victor Moses was turned into a right back, I haven't seen a transformation of a footballer like this. He's suddenly a midfield hatchet man and brilliant at it.
I wrote down, talk about I'm not an ugly duckling, I'm a swan. Yeah. It's absolutely that, isn't it?
Danny Kay. It's great to hear Danny Kay get a mention.
Great reference. with Danny Kay. I wish Kay I'd done today.
That. Yes, then we could have had two Danny Kays. I mean, you know, he's done fantastically well. And we all know that somewhere in the next 3 weeks, Newcastle will crack. And suddenly the giant bag of money will arrive on. And they do. Why not? Why not have a marquee signing? That was as near as you can have as a routine win the Premier League. That was it, and that's a sign of how far they've come.
Bruno Guimarães.
Indeed. Oh, anyway, there's that music again as we're ushered from the stage by Lauren Bacall back in the day.
next, be great next, if she came. Yeah, she couldn't, obviously.
Next up, it's Leeds 2, Wolves 1. We'll do that very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, we move on then. We're with Danny Kelly, and we are looking through all the Premier League games this season. Still got to squeeze in four before the 2 o'clock news and sport.
Can't be done.
Oh, I'm sure we'll manage it. Leeds 2, Wolves 1 was the final score. You see the American influence creeping in more and more with Jesse Marsh. We also saw a bit of a flare-up between the managers and Bruno.
It's quite rare, isn't it, these days? Quite enjoyable.
Bruno Lage saying, there are some things you don't say. And the only thing I thought he could say is, you look a bit like Johnny Vaughan. I can't see why he would be.
Yeah, he didn't like
the
that.
Large.
He's outraged. Outraged.
I don't think he would have been that upset about it, really. But you don't think Leeds will be flirting with relegation this season, Danny, or do you?
I don't actually, because I think Jesse Marsh, despite early impressions perhaps, is a very good coach. I think this game was, in a season, as I said, it's incredibly difficult to predict. It was the original 11th place six-pointer. Mm. This was a huge game for those teams who are trying to finish 11th, wasn't it? And Brendan Arnesen, you're right, he looked exactly like the kind of player Leeds would have brought in any time in the last 4 years. Incredibly energetic, very, very good. Wolves, you worry about them because, again, last season they couldn't score any goals. This game they dominated possession, didn't score enough goals. They're bringing in Gonçalo Guedes, who's a very good footballer. Mm. Really a replacement for Jota they've been looking for a while. And we'll see how he gets on. But the interesting one is Connor Cody joining Tyrone Mings as England centre halves that are not as good as Eric Dyer and can't even get a game but their own team.
He's just been saying that to Danny off air. It's all very well for Gareth to say we know what Eric can do. Well, let him do it then, because he's doing it better than anybody else you've got in that position.
Adding a goal to his game.
That's right. After 3 years.
My takeaway from this Leeds game, though, was that I noticed that Jesse March, he had a very thick Sharpie and a very small notebook. Yeah. So I don't know how that works.
Thick Sharpie, small notebook.
No, because those ones that are quite thick.
Maybe
how many notes
he gets those books from the library that are in Nan's print. Maybe he has to write in very big letters.
Is it your eyes or
and I'm glad you remind me. Eric Ten Hag, of course, had one of those biros that we all coveted as kids with four different coloured nibs in it.
Really?
So when they're doing badly, does he press the red one? Yeah. And then when it's a bit better, the green one. He had four different colours on his pen.
I bet that's an old one of those 70s ones still hanging around at Old Trafford where you turn them upside down. And I think we all know what happens then, really, is the style of carry-on films.
I think you collect those, don't you, Paul?
I think I've got about 1,000 at home.
And Bamford back made a huge difference.
Bamford does.
Of course. Yeah,
there
really
it is.
Footballer.
There's the Oscar music. That's right. So we leave the stage now, clutching our Oscars, and we move on to Bournemouth 2, Aston Villa 0. I think we can have a bit of shock in the voice there, because everybody was writing off Bournemouth completely, possibly us as well, for the start of the season. But again, a nice redemption story in the second goal by Bournemouth. But more worrying for Villa, Danny, I would think. Villa fans will be... I mean, it's only one game in, but you'd be a bit troubled by what you saw there.
Just the taking out of Mings as the captain and then out of the teams. Unless I don't know something is going on there at a personal level, it strikes me that he has been the stalwart of the team for several years now, and just changing it, does it leave the players wondering what exactly is going on? But I think really we need Andy's expertise to for this game, because of course he is formerly a high class couturier and owner of several boutiques. So Scott Parker's jacket, I mean, it's not a question of what is it. Where could you even get such a thing, Andy?
I know. It's got four hoops, right? So it's very admiral-like. What I thought about it, though, is I'm sure he wore it at Fulham. So it can't be a lucky jacket.
Yeah.
Or wear my lucky jacket that got Fulham relegated.
Well, Michael Richards,
he's got an array, hasn't he? He's got the very tiny kind of light grey one that looks like it wouldn't fit your cat, but he somehow manages to squeeze himself into it. Yeah. It wouldn't fit me, I'll put it that way. I don't know what he's trying to distract. I mean, you wouldn't want to distract from your team. Surely you're proud of your team, particularly the way they played there. And hats off to Kiefer Moore.
Yeah. Mm.
From Truro City to the Premier League via 11 other clubs. And of course, he's a difficult man to play against. Brilliant.
Yes, that was a good story.
I've written some note about Kiefer Moore, but I can't read it, which is brilliant.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Tom has made the point. Yeah, lovely story of Josh De Silva wrapping one into the top corner from a disappointed Fox. It was good news for Brentford, less so for. And on that, we're asking for your season predictions. And just finally, before we're led from the stage, Scott Parker to be dressed like Bjork by October, maybe every week. Could get more outlandish. That's quite a nice idea. Yeah. Okay, squeeze him in. Fulham, it feels like a lifetime
ago. You've
got to
do this one indeed. James Alexander.
Fulham 2, Liverpool 2. The parched pitch was a great leveller, clearly. you could tell he was frustrated by the performance, as were a number of the Liverpool players. But well done to Fulham. I did a match of the day.
Terrific.
They were pointing out just the hard running. But they were like, you know, first game of the season at home, back in the Premier League. They were like, you know, like a bunch of kids on Sunny D. Everybody was tearing around. They had more energy than they would normally have, I think.
They all played well, and they played well to one end, and that end is Alexander Mitrovic. He is my favourite non-Spurs player in English football these days, because, of course, what he does is so Alexander Mitrovic. I know he can be a bit of a nuisance and all the rest of it, but when he's on that kind of form, Trent Alexander-Arnold is lucky he's not out for the rest of the season the way he came over the top of him for the first goal. And I believe that Fulham, who have changed a lot of players, they could change all 24 of them in the squad as long as Mitrovic stays. And I know he's failed in the Premier League before, but I think if they work towards him, he can do great things. And I'll tell you what as well, Serbia in the upcoming World Cup, they have an amazing tactic. They play Vlahovic up front, and then they bring on Mitrovic to play with him for the last half an hour against tiring defenders. And it is going to upset some teams, I promise you, in the upcoming World Cup, because he's different, isn't he? And he's fantastic.
I've got my takeaway from this game is a Barry Manilow-style chant for Niskin's Cabana.
Oh, yeah.
I'll save you the Niskin's.
Niskin's Cabana.
Oh, yeah.
It works, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. If the fans are singing it.
Well, I don't think they will.
Just a reminder for the Brentford fans, when Adrian Rabiot does come to your ground this week for Manchester United, he sacked his own mum. Adrian Rabiot.
Oh, yeah, because he's coming to Brentford. I'll get that one going.
Everybody, sing! You can do a bit of that, Andy, can't you? Yeah.
And just for Scott Parker, Scott, you've already got the jacket. Remember, Janet Jackson these days, semi-retired. She's got a big Admiral's hat. You can really finish off the outfit.
I mean, Warren Beatty is asking us now to leave the stage with him. And
hi, Warren.
And finally...
Finally, we've got through it. It's good.
Palace 0, Arsenal 2.
I didn't give my rash conclusion. Arsenal give up chances. They're good, but not as good as City, Liverpool and Spurs. 4th.
OK, well, look, you know, at 1-0, Palace did have their chance. A couple of very good saves by Aaron Ramsdale, but that's what he's there to do, of course, he would say. But once that second goal went in, that was that. But some good performances, Barson, and a great start of the season, certainly better than last season.
Yeah, and this is... I need Andy or someone to tell me that Arsenal are not really any good, because I live in fear now. I've become, obviously, both Paul and I lived beneath the jackboot of Arsene Wenger's brilliant Arsenal teams. But now it's been 2,500 days since Arsenal finished above Spurs, and man, I really like those days, and I get great comfort from those days, and I do not want those days to end. I think those days should be provided on the NHS. Don't tell me Arsenal are going to become good. I mean, they spent enough money to come good over the past three seasons, but I have to hope that this is a kind of false dawn and that they'll revert to type later in the season. Otherwise, it's not going to be very good at all.
Coping with the Europa League will be something that they need to do. They can win. I think they can win the Europa League, obviously. But so they'll take it seriously because it's a guarantee back into the Champions League. And look, they have been building towards this. We've been teasing Matt Scott, but he's been predicting this. And they do look... pretty strong. Odegaard's a good player. He really is effective.
Yeah. But I weren't on Palace. They did seem to miss Gallagher.
Right. That was the biggest miss.
Yeah, it was. You made a good point, though, about Gallagher. Unless he's getting game time, he wants to try and get in the England squad for the World Cup. Unless he's getting game time over the next few weeks for Chelsea, maybe Palace before the end of the window.
No, he got 2 minutes.
He got 2 minutes. Well, is that going to be enough?
I think he's going to play.
Is that going to be enough?
He really likes him.
Well, that's it. I think our time has run out. Danny, it's been a pleasure. We'll do it all again next week.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We didn't mention Torquay. Yeah, started the season with a very thrilling 0-0.
Against Oldham, though.
Oldham, yeah.
Latics, they know. They were national leagued. That's what happens these days. Yes, that's true.
So there you go.
So that's that. Didn't you watch the game, Andy?
Well, I didn't. I just took an interest in the actual result for our producer.
Okay.
He's very, very keen.
Yes.
And, it was funny when you said the Mayo had this thing about, as if it was a new thing, about pampered players. Pampered Mayo stars get care officers to wash their cars and sign for... They've always had this.
Yeah.
Player liaison. I'd say the whole of the 2000s at least, they've had this. So I don't know why they think that's suddenly
particularly resent it. Because what you really want is, you know, you've got a player coming from a different part of the world with their family trying to settle in. And they don't speak the language fluently, and they do have to try and sort of immediately hit the ground running. They have to go and leave the wife and the kids, go off and train. I mean, I'm sure your heart's bleeding for them. They're doing all this on 150 grand a week. I know, plus. But still, if there's anybody at the club who can make that easier by finding them somewhere to live and finding the kids' schools and just generally being around to help
out.
Yeah,
it's got to be a good idea. That's why they have it, so they can concentrate on the football.
Well, I've told you before, when David Platt first went to Italy, he was telling me that he deliberately went to Bari, because he thought, if I go somewhere else, it's all going to be laid on. Mm. So he kind of wanted to go somewhere where there wasn't a lot of English spoken, and he just had to get on with it. And there wasn't loads of player liaison people like there would have been at Juve and stuff.
Yeah, that was in the 90s.
Yeah, I know it was in the 90s, but, true. You know, I thought, again, that's probably a mark of him, really, quite a bold thing to do, isn't it?
Fans of the BBC's long-running drama, The Archers, the actress Peggy Spencer has retired, age 103.
Wow.
I only mention it because I'm planning to break her record here at TalkSport.
Imagine 104-year-old Andy Jacobs.
Still moaning about Chelsea's lack of strikers.
Young Lewis Mount, he was rubbish. No, not a mark on his dad. Nowhere near as... I won't be far off you. I'll be sitting here as well. Yeah, what about that then? Good old...
Talking of that, happy 50th birthday for Jerry Halliwell.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought that was how old she was.
That's a bit of a quantum leap.
No. I always thought that was how old she was when she was in the Spice Girls.
Oh, meow, Andy. No need for that. Yeah, that's... Well, congratulations to her. This shouldn't come as a surprise, because I'm sure a lot of people are slaves to them, but the good people at the University of South Australia, they have been doing loads and loads of research onto people wearing activity trackers, you know, sort of, you know, your Apple Watch.
Oh, etc.
Fitbits, etc. Yeah. And they've found that they do actually motivate people to walk up to 40 minutes more each day and an average weight loss of 1 kilogram, 2.2 pounds, over 5 months. Now, you can obviously do more if you want to, but that shouldn't come as a massive shock, should it? I mean, I've got one, you've got one, and it does tend to spur you on. I mean, your one shouts at you. I mean, you've set it on the quite aggressive setting, haven't you? It suddenly says things like, get up!
That was my old one. This is a new one. This is my kinder to me.
Right, okay. And, but no, your old one was quite aggressive.
It was, yeah. It does inspire you. Yeah. It does make you sort of do the steps and all that.
Can be a bit of a slave to them at times. I mean, your one used to get you to stand up and go and get a glass of water.
Stand up. You've been sitting down for too long.
Mess with the settings, I would say, certainly.
And, I was reading Rod Liddell's column, and he was writing about Brentford in the Sunday Times yesterday, and he says, it would not surprise me hugely to see Brentford somewhere near the bottom come Christmas, as reality slowly catches up with them. I suspect they've paid wildly over the odds for Hull City's young winger, Keen Lewis Potter. And you think to yourself, that's right, you know more than Brentford's data-driven system. It's brilliant, these people that write this stuff. You don't think, doesn't he not think to himself, you know what, Brentford, they're pretty good at finding people who are worth the money.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
They certainly have been so far, haven't they? Anything else, Andy?
Let's have a look. Arsenal fans. Speak to this bloke. Arsenal fans are rushing to a hair transplant specialist. I should say a hair transplant.
Not a transplant specialist.
Because of Rob Holding. This doctor treated Rob Holding.
Mm.
And basically, Arsenal fans are all after the same look.
They want the Rob Holding look.
Yeah.
So really? Give me a Rob Holding.
I wouldn't, though, because it's Arsenal, but, you know.
You wouldn't go? Okay, where would you go to? You've got any famous
ex-Chelsea
hair transplant people?
Seems unlikely.
Have you considered...
Although the bloke who sits behind me did claim at one time to be doing Victoria Beckham's hair extensions.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I could have those.
You'd look good. Nice, yeah. I think you could carry those off, Andy.
I popped into Victoria Beckham's shop yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah. It's a beautiful shop in Dover Street.
It's not like a haberdasher's.
Honestly, the clothes are lovely. I mean, they really are fantastic. Mm. I mean, you expect me not to say that, but you have to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not the target audience, though, are you?
No, it's a bit pricey, but not that pricey. Not
men's
ridiculous.
Clothes as well, does she do?
No, women's clothes, but they're nice quality, definitely.
Okay.
I was quite surprised.
Well, you know, you were in that business, Andy.
Well, that's it. You know, so I took an interest.
Did you have a look at the material? Do you feel the material?
I did feel the materials. That's exactly what I did. You're right.
I thought you'd gone in there feeling the material.
Yeah, I like a bit of a feel.
Your dirty old fingers all over a £600 vest or something.
And British prisoners, especially English prisoners, are getting ready for the World Cup by brewing super strong hooch, The Sun tells us this morning.
Wow.
Apparently, the brews are left to ferment for months to increase alcohol strength. So they want to get, you know, they're making it now so it'll be ready for November. It's fantastic. Oh. I don't know how they know this.
Yeah.
And where are they going to store it?
They'll find a way.
I suppose they will, really.
In Harry Grout's, Mr. Bridges or Harry Grout cells, that's where they'll be.
That's right.
Because no one ever goes in there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Yes, every Monday we bring some Clips of the Week pewter. We can't call them gold. They're not the classics. You don't hear them every Christmas Eve. But they've just been sitting in a drawer somewhere, basically, since 2010. They've been in deep hibernation. But our producer has dusted them down and brought us the best of them. These are from February, March 2010. As we always say, we've not heard them.
I like them.
We've not heard them since. So it's all news to us, this. But we hope for the best. Andy, kick us off.
We start with Mark Saggers, who was clearly having one of his angry moments.
At St Andrews this afternoon, Ian Dowie and Hull City, it's the last throw of the device.
Don't start throwing your devices. That's another phone going out the car window for Sags. Let's go over to American history expert Mike Parry now.
You see this, and they produced a picture of Jimmy Carter's face with a beard on. He said, look, makes you look like Abraham Lincoln, who's, you know, the most popular American ever in the history of America until he got shot.
Yeah, he obviously did take the edge off it.
Yeah. That was brilliant. Alan Brazil now on Breakfast with a surprise guest.
Now, 26 minutes before 9 o'clock, we'll have the business news with Hank and Graham Gooch.
I didn't know Gooch, he was a business expert.
I didn't either.
Fantastic. Good old Graham Gooch with the latest. So show your bananas down 15. He'd be giving it a bit of that, wouldn't he? Gucci. Back to Mike Parry again, who was kicking off his mid-morning show with Andy Townsend.
100 texts a day. Some of these kids are sending 100 texts
right,
a day.
Right. They can't communicate normally with people. I'll tell you why. Two factors. 100 texts a day and the fact they've got iPod earphones stuck in their ears, which are deafening them, breaking up their eardrums and allowing them no... I was going to say intercourse then.
Good job you didn't, eh? Good job you didn't. Yes.
That's good. Now, around this time, we had the Icelandic volcanic ash cloud that suspended all air travel and caused absolute chaos. Here's Mr. Brazil's take on it all.
So, let's say a very good morning to Nick's guest, leading volcano researcher from the Open University, Dr. David Rothery. Doctor, very good morning.
Morning, Dave.
Morning.
Doctor, I'm a bit concerned. Well, not concerned because it doesn't really bother me, but.
Fair enough. It's okay. Yeah. I was stuck in Barcelona for about 5 days.
Dr. David Rothery, known as Daylight.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Perhaps Alan became a little more sympathetic once he'd had a chat with that expert.
Look, I'm meant to be flying to Vienna a week on Sunday, and I'm cautiously optimistic that things will be more or less back to normal by then, but we can't be sure.
Beautiful city, Vienna, David. Beautiful.
Yep, I love it.
David, thank you for your help. Dr. David Rothery there.
Didn't really go anywhere. They didn't do their own
he didn't mention
travel show.
Hans Krankel's beautiful left foot.
Foot like a traction engine. Alan often mentions Hans Krankel when Vienna's mentioned. Here's Nigel, by the way, on Fisherman's Blues with a caller.
Barry is in Middlesbrough, I think. If you want to be next up, 08717 223 344 is the number to dial. Good morning, Barry. Hello, Barry.
Hi, Nigel.
Good morning. How are you on this morning?
Morning.
Hello, Barry.
Morning, Nigel.
Good morning. Was it Scott you wanted to talk about?
Hi. Fine. I just wanted to phone in.
Hello, Barry. Barry, can you turn your radio off? I'm getting awful feedback from you.
Sorry. Hi, Nigel.
Yeah, hi, yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. That's why we tell you to turn your radios off. Yeah, otherwise, you respond to the radio, which is in delay, as you've promised. Hi, Nigel. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. It was the question you asked 5 minutes ago. Back to Alan Brazil on breakfast now.
Of course, Fulham fans as well would be arguing a little bit about Goodison, the tackle, or the kick on Cahill. Was that a stone bonk penalty?
A stone bonk penalty? Well, I think that is a phrase, to be fair to Alan.
Is it?
I don't think so.
I don't think it is. And sticking with penalties, here's a caller to Stan Collymore.
What did you think about the Alan Hutton scenario?
No, listen, I've not seen it. I can't comment. From what hell you've explained it to me.
Basically, I'll explain it to everybody now. About 10 yards from the left touch line, Jozy Altidore goes for the ball with Alan Hutton running into the channel. Jozy Altidore ends up, I think, throwing the ball. No, it was Alan Hutton throws the ball at Altidore. Altidore fronts him, nose to nose, just gesticulates forward, catches him on the forehead. But the way that Alan Hutton went down, you'd have thought that it was Muhammad Ali, not Jozy Altidore, that had knocked him down. When he goes down, he's giving that classic sort of patting his feet on the ground and rolling over like we see Didier Drogba do at his very worst. What punishment would you like to see for what is essentially cheating the referee? Hey there, Tony. Right, unfortunately, he's gone.
Yeah, I think you had to get going.
I think you did.
Oh, I love the Alan Hutton scenario. One of my favourite bands.
They were very good. I remember him on the whistle test. They were very good, weren't they? Alan Hutton scenario. And Little Feet joining us. Back to Alan Brazil, who'd been to see his good mate, Simple Minds, his old school friends.
Thanks to Jim Kerr and all the guys, production team with them. We'll definitely have a bit of that, Ronnie, in London. Mm-hmm. The borderline 23rd of April, isn't it? May, this week. This month. Next 23rd week, isn't it? 23rd.
Yeah. Was it 27th of April today, Al?
Yeah.
I don't know when it was on. I think I would have missed that gig.
If it was the 27th of April, it definitely couldn't have been on at the 23rd of April. What's going on?
So, no.
Never mind.
What's next, Andy?
It's Mike Parry again now.
I'm not a selfish person. I see the broader picture. I see the wide canvas, you know? Mm. I see the Bordeaux tapestry in front of me.
Oh, not that one.
Oh, yeah, here we go. As well, you know, Mike does have a bit of a history with the Bordeaux tapestry.
Who came runners-up to Lyon in the French League last season and are now in the Champions League?
I'll take a stab. I'll say Bordeaux, Mike.
Bordeaux, as in the tapestry, yeah?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. In the Bordeaux tapestry, Harold doesn't get it in the eye. He just has a nice glass of wine.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. It's slightly different, that's right. And finally, sticking with Mike here, he is looking forward to a legendary guest joining him.
Remember, this is a fantastic show for two or three reasons. Firstly, Mr. Graham accompanying me. Secondly, we're talking about Jose. And thirdly, we have got Francis Rossi coming in at midday today, so don't go anywhere.
Francis Rossi. And Andy, Francis Rossi, you can probably guess.
And how do you think Mike decided to mark the moment?
Get down, deeper down. Down, down, deeper down. Down, down, deeper down. Get down, deeper down. I want all the world to see. To see you're laughing and you're laughing at me. Ba, ba, ba. I can
can take it all from you again, 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 down, 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 deeper down, 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 deeper down.
I hope Francis Rossi wasn't listening to this. He didn't come in.
I'm afraid he won't join us now. Got back in the cab. There we are, Mike Parry. It didn't take.
Why not just play Status Quo?
I know, you might as well.
Why have him singing? It's ridiculous.
I never get. Remember, he did a show, didn't he? And it was a young producer. And Mike obviously told this young producer that he would sing. Was it in the ghetto?
My Way, I think.
Was it? No, it was an Elvis song.
In the ghetto, in the ghetto.
In the ghetto, yeah. And he sang the whole song.
All of it.
I mean, the producer was only a kid and he wasn't in a position. He thought, oh, Mike must do this all the time. It was his first shift. Mike did the whole, something like 3.5 minutes karaoke. Bonkers. Anyway, Mark Housey will be. There's some more clips of the week, Pewter. We'll bring you some more next week.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Well, Uri Geller bought an island a little while ago up in Scotland. It's on the Firth of Forth, just off North Berwick. And I think he's had it about 10 years, but he is. It's now a micronation. Hmm. And every micronation, of course, needs a football team. So this could be your chance to be an international footballer. We'll find out how Uri joins us now. Uri, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul and Andy, good afternoon. You just gave me a brilliant idea. I didn't think of football yet.
We've got to have a football team. If you've got a nation, it needs its own. I mean, there's tournaments these days for the
non-FIFA teams.
Non-FIFA, yeah, CONIFA is, I believe it's called. And I don't see why Lamb, your island, can't join that and compete.
I will do that on one condition, that you both help me out.
Okay, we'll see if we can do a bit of recruiting. There's quite a lot of players in this country that just miss out on international football.
That's true.
People used to often bemoan the fact that Mark Noble, the West Ham player, never got a chance. He should have done, really. There were times in his career. But, you know, this has come a year too late for Mark, who's now retired.
That's true.
But anyway, so you bought an island, Uri, and it's now a micronation. Tell us more.
Yes, well, what happened is that I always had this feeling of turning my island into a nation. And then one day, not long ago, a journalist happened to walk into my museum in Israel, in Old Jaffa, from the BBC, a guy called Rafi Berg. And he was fascinated by the plaque, you know, by the history of what, you know, I mean, Queen Scota is said to have moored outside my island. We're talking about 3,500 years ago, the Egyptians sent Queen Scota, who was one of the queens of the pharaohs. And I believe there is an Egyptian treasure buried on the island. So Rafi Berg decided to write a story about the island. And I, parallel to that, I thought, this is my moment to turn this into a country. So believe it or not, Paul and Andy, I have a flag. And it was very difficult to put the flag on the island. And then we have an anthem. I have a constitution, and it's extraordinary. And now I'm going to have a football team.
Yes, of course. Although I think we're going to be able to hear the anthem. And okay. So any prospective players will need to learn the words of the anthem, because they'll need to sing it before they play international matches. So let's get a flavour. Uri is on vocals here. Let's have a listen.
I can see the players, yeah.
Players with their hands on their hearts. Singing. Did you write the lyrics as well?
No. But listen, I must tell you something. There was a group of amazing Scottish musicians, and the official anthem is sung by a Scottish lady, Susan. But let me tell you something. I decided to sing it myself too, just in case, you know, to have it on file. And a couple of days ago, I walked into a small studio, which is here next to my apartment building where I live in Old Jaffa. and in the middle of the recording, a rocket explodes.
Wow.
You didn't play that part, but if you go further, I left it in because it's so unusual. I also said a rude word.
You did.
Yes, that's why we couldn't play it, but we did hear it.
You say, flip, that was close, but you don't quite say that. Yes, well, yeah. That'll have to be added to the official lyrics of the song, though, when players sing it before a game, of course.
But this island is, there's nobody living there. It's uninhabitable. What made you buy it?
First of all, there is one person I have to mention. He's an amazing Scottish mentor. He's Drew McAdam, who lives almost opposite my island. He helped me so much. But, you know, let me begin. This island, it's mysterious and it's enigmatic, and it's claimed to be one of the Great Pyramids of Scotland. So this is incredible. Lamb Island is actually a volcanic outcrop in the Firth of Forth, north of Edinburgh. And it's one of the rocky outcrops which mirror, this is the amazing thing, it mirrors the layout of the pyramids at Giza, wow, near Cairo in Egypt. And, you know, I'm fascinated by the connection between the pyramids and these islands. And let me tell you this Mohammed El-Fayed comes in the picture, because the connection has been known for centuries. You can read about it in a 15th century manuscript called the Scoticronicon, by the abbot of Incombe. His name was Walter Bower. So when I heard that Lamb Island was for sale, wow, I felt a strong, instinctive urge to buy it. And the more I delved into the history and the archaeological lore which surrounds it, the more, you know, certain I became that this is the island that I must buy. This is one of the most significant sites in Britain.
Well, if people can become citizens of Lamb, there's a charity aspect to it as well. It only cost them $1 to become a citizen, become an official citizen of the island, dual nationality, I guess.
But you get a passport, I love it.
You're raising money for a good cause, Uri. Tell us more.
Yes, let me tell you. I would love everyone to become a citizen of Lamb Island. And let me just tell you about the charity. This charity is based in Israel, yes? And there are surgeons who do open heart surgery to children. Listen to this. More than 6,000 children were saved from 45 countries. And believe it or not, half of the children were Palestinian. It's incredible. So, hey, guys, $1, or if you want a little more, pay more. But then you'll get this beautiful certificate. You just simply print it out, and you will be able to... citizens, and wow, this will be amazing. All you have to do is get on my website, which is urigeller.com. urigeller.com. All the information is there. You pay PayPal $1 and you're a citizen. The certificate is beautiful, and you help a child in need.
Fantastic, it's a good idea. Can you play football on the island? It looks quite small and craggy. It doesn't look like you could get a full size football pitch on it, or we're gonna have to play on the mainland, do you think?
Let me tell you something. If I'm not mistaken, when the BBC article came out a couple of days ago, I believe that the journalist, this guy Rafi Berg, described it almost as big as a football pitch.
Oh, okay.
So, but you will all have to help me, guys, to put up the goalposts and find. We'll play with my logo. By the way, I do want to mention the lady, Susan Broadfoot, who sings the anthem. She also wrote the lyrics, and amazing, amazing Scottish musicians wrote the music. So what can I tell you? I really appreciate the fact that you called me up to interview me.
Yeah.
UriGeller.com is where you become a citizen, and it'll be just... Wow. I'm so excited.
And we got the perfect manager for Lamb. As a friend of ours, Mark Bertram, his name is. We'll get in touch with our old friend Michael Naylor, one of our listeners, has suggested Bert is perfect. We'll have to get him away from Lake Como.
Yeah, he's got a good job at the moment.
But I think he's got Lamb written all over him. It'd be fantastic. Uri, good to talk to you. I hope it goes well. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bless you all. Bye.
There we are. Uri Geller there. He's turned it into a micronation. They need a football team. Hopefully Birch is on board, yeah. Be in charge of recruitment. And good idea, Michael. Thank you very much for that. And it's a chance for you to take. You could be like the technical director, Andy. Brilliant, wandering around lambing your car coat. There's a picture, there's a little video of him and somebody else trying to lay the flag of Lamb on, and it's quite windy.
It's quite rocky as well.
It's quite. I mean, once the ball goes out, it's straight in the water, really. Once it's going to be. Can we have our ball back, mister? You'll need a team of divers circling the island for every training session. But look, chance to play international football.
Yeah.
Could happen to you. Yeah, okay. It's, we've done a lot on the Premier League. I thought we'd just, break away for five minutes. There'll be more Premier League chat, I'm sure, with Andy Goldstein and Darren Bent. We're going to be looking ahead to our commentary game over on TalkSport 2 very shortly. Karen Bailey will be joining us. Anything else you've noticed from the weekend, Andy?
Yes, Moeen Ali is worried about the future of international 50-over matches, one-day internationals. You think, why? No one likes it. Forget it. I can't see the point of it, really. I don't, you know, it's become, it's, I just, I wouldn't worry about it. Let it go.
You're not a fan of the 50-over game. Well, I think it's a format too far.
It's just a bit dull, isn't it?
It changed, didn't it? It kind of changed in its, with 2020.
They tried everything. It's just got this lumpy middle bit, you know, yeah. Which is, you know, the bit that isn't 2020, basically.
No, that's very true.
Fair enough.
A guy called Field McIntyre. I mean, we mentioned earlier on that people who wear sort of smartwatches apparently do more exercise because they're kind of badgered into it and they feel they've made that kind of commitment and they should listen to the watch. But Field McIntyre, I don't know if he's got one. I'm not sure. He said, you really must try a Muscovado sugar sandwich made with good, well-buttered bread.
Oh, God.
I'm thinking that was not going to come across well on the old smartwatch, is it?
Really, the sugar
sandwich. But good luck with that, Field.
There's an interesting corporate row going on. Do you remember a few years ago I bought this... it's a boxing training aid. It's a headband. It's got an elastic band on it. There's a ball. You hit the ball and it comes back.
It was like a punch ball, but it's attached to your hat.
But it's quite small, yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. But apparently two people are claiming that they invented it.
Right.
So there's quite a battle over it.
To be honest, having seen you...
I must have got the one that didn't work.
Having seen you show it to us, I don't think I'd be boasting about having invented that,
no,
really.
Definitely not.
I don't think that Peter Jones would have had anything to do with it in the den, put it that way.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was today's show. I'm back with Charlie tomorrow. We'll do it all again. Andy, you return on Wednesday.
That's right.
Do hope you can join us from 1 o'clock. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available around 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.